Good morning. I'd like to welcome our visitors with us today. Glad you came to worship God with us. I'd like to welcome everybody back tonight, if you're able. We're going to be having a singing service, a worship service to God in prayer and singing. And then we'll have a finger food fellowship afterwards. That's always nice to have also. But our worship tonight is to God, and but we can benefit a little bit too with the fellowship. Preston mentioned it today in our Bible class in the auditorium in here about Bruce has spoken about this before, and maybe he will probably do it again. 2 Timothy 2:15, and that was exactly what our worship is going to be about today, our lesson. If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. This is a personal letter written by Paul to Timothy, even though he was writing to Timothy, it applies to us also. Not every single thing in the Bible, a command, is necessarily given for us also. It might have been a specific to that person in that situation, but the principles apply to us throughout the Bible. This applies to us as much as it does Timothy. It said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. That is something that I greatly appreciate about this congregation. In my opinion, and in a lot of ways, that doesn't amount to a hill of beans, because it's God's opinion who matters. Amen. But in my opinion, I'm proud of this congregation for reflecting the attitude in this. The men that offer up prayers, the men that deliver lessons from this pulpit, the people that teach Bible classes, the women who teach the children, the ladies' Bible class. This is a focus throughout our congregation, and it should be in every congregation, but I know it is in this one. I'd like to break this one verse down and look at the various components of this verse. It starts out, "Be diligent." Diligent is a strong word. It is a strong phrase. It just doesn't happen. You know, we can have ideas and goals that I would sure like to get an A on my math test Tuesday. But if you're not diligent in putting the time, the effort into studying for that math test, it's not going to come about. Amen. It takes effort. I would sure like to save up to buy X thing. But if you just keep spending and don't put any money aside, it's not just going to poof and show up. Be diligent requires focus and effort. It requires focus to stay on that goal in order to what you're trying to achieve. It takes effort. It's just not a prayer for it to happen and then sit back and do nothing. You can't, I think Dick has used this lesson or this example before, and it always stuck with me, that you know, you can't pray for a better job and sit back and not go out and apply. It's just not going to be dumped in your lap. Hebrews 8, verse 5, and we covered this some time ago in our Wednesday night study. We're studying the book of Hebrews. It's starting to wind down. We only have a little bit, couple chapters left. Probably take us another 6 months, the way we've been going. We're in, I think, chapter 11 right now, and we started in August. So anyway, in Hebrews 8, 5, "For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Talking about Moses, God telling Moses, you do the things as you were shown. Don't just haphazardly go about it. See that you make all things according to the pattern. You just don't haphazardly go about doing that. It takes effort. It takes desire to do that. In Exodus 40, verse 16, it says, Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Moses did most of the things God commanded. Moses had the right idea in some of the stuff, but he didn't do it all. It says Moses did all things according to the pattern that the Lord had commanded him. We are told to be diligent. Diligent to do what? To present yourself, ourselves. To present yourself. Paul's talking to Timothy. This applies as much to us as it did in the personal letter to Timothy. To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Like I said a second ago, it's not my opinion. It's to be approved of God. I'm glad I don't have to be part of the only part of the judgment I'll be part of is when I'm being judged. I don't get to take part in, and I'm glad because I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to make those judgments. God is. We need to present ourselves as being approved and pleasing to God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Paul wrote to the Christians there in Corinth, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." This is a sobering verse. It's one of those that you kind of sit up and take note of that we will all, that we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Have you ever been kind of just driving along in your own thoughts, almost on autopilot, maybe going home, that you know the way so well, and all of a sudden, dog runs on the street, and it gets your attention. This is one of those. We're going along as a Christian, sometimes maybe on autopilot. We've heard it all so well. This is a good verse to read every so often for me. That I've got to appear before the judgment seat. We need to present ourselves. When we are going to go before God, we want to be seen as approved of God, pleasing. Because the alternative, you think this is an eye-opener. The alternative is worse. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews had been talking in here about the sacrifice and the priests and the high priest. How that sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb, would be sacrificed and would be inspected. It's just not you take a lamb and offer it. The priest would sacrifice it. They would dissect it to see if it was without blemish. A lamb maybe on the outside looks okay. And it gets in and it starts carving that up. And it gets in between the joints and the marrow. That's how fine the judgment's going to be. We can put on our Sunday finest, come here. I was at church Sunday. Look good on the outside. But at judgment, God is going to be able to divide us and see inside every little thing. Even He'll be the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Maybe we'll fool some people. We'll not be able to fool God. In that phrase, to be approved of God, it says a worker. Not a shirker. Not just somebody that shows up. Not somebody that's on the team. Not somebody that they're just there. A worker. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Are we able to work our way to heaven? Absolutely not. If we could, there would have been no reason to send God's Son for us. If we could do it, God wouldn't have needed to send His Son as a sacrifice for us. We can't. But our efforts, our works, is how we display our faith. Amen. It's not just a sit back, a mental acceptance that I have a belief in God, and then I don't display it in any other way than that. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that just be nice to, well, I believe in God. Safe at third. I will show you my faith by my works. A worker. In Acts 17:30, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. These were workers. They studied daily. They were in the Word. They put effort into it to be approved because they did not want, they wanted to find out whether the things they're hearing lived up to the Word of God or not. And they wanted to make sure what they did lived up to the Word of God. You can't do it if you don't know it. Can't do it if you don't know it. Gets into rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. The word is orthotomeo. I can barely speak English. I hope I got the Greek right. Orthotomeo, it means to make straight. We see kind of the root word, orthodontist, to make your teeth straight. Orthopedics, to straighten out your feet. Things like that. To make straight. We put effort into rightly dividing to make straight the Word of God. We do it in context. I'm sure we've all seen people or maybe have heard of people that will take scriptures out of context. I'll tell you, you could probably use scripture to defend just about anything you wanted to defend religiously if you misused the scripture. But it's in the Bible. It says it. What is the context? You got to ask, who's speaking? Who's speaking? Is what is being said, is it a commandment of Moses? Is it a commandment of Jesus? Is it somebody saying something that's not one of God's people? There's plenty of examples where somebody who, depending on who is speaking, can totally make the difference of what it's saying, the context. Who's the audience? There's people, we've got a friend that thinks you still have to observe the Sabbath because it was commanded in the Old Testament to observe the Sabbath. This is not the Sabbath. This is the first day of the week. The Jews needed to observe the Sabbath. The things commanded in the law of Moses were strictly to the Jews, not to other people. Can we learn from the principles? Absolutely. But who's the audience? The mood. Paul was very famous for this. Paul would kind of be sarcastic at times. In Romans, he talked about, let us observe evil, that good will come. He's being sarcastic. He's not saying people to be, well, the Apostle Paul said to be evil. In Romans 3, be evil, that good will come. He's being sarcastic. We need to rightly divide, not take out of context, not take a portion of here and a portion there to try to defend what we do or to try to sincerely follow what we think. Is who's speaking? What is the context? In 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Peter says, knowing this first, and they're talking about the teachings and Paul's writings and so forth, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Have you ever heard of people, well, that's your interpretation. There's only one right interpretation. You get 10 people together, you may have 10 different looks at a certain verse. Doesn't mean they're all right. Amen. Doesn't mean that any of them are right. Amen. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, we have to believe that. When we do a Bible study, first question I ask is, do you believe in God? Because if they don't believe in God, you kind of got to do some background and build up. They've got to have a sense of God first. Second question, do you believe the Word of God is inspired by God? Do you believe? And a lot of people, believe it or not, you wouldn't think so. Well, the Bible's a good list of stories. The Bible has some good teachings in it, but I don't believe this part. He's not really meaning this. That's so condemning. God's a God of love. I believe there's no room for that. I believe, I think, I feel. Who cares? So what does God say? It was written by holy men that were moved by the Spirit. It was God-breathed. Got ahead of myself. This is talking about Paul. In 2 Peter 3:16, Peter's talking about Paul's teaching. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. I've run across things like that in the Bible. It makes me kind of pause and scratch my head a little bit. What is this meaning? I don't quite understand it. Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not from the Word of God. And it goes on to say that untaught and unstable people will twist these scriptures to their own destruction. Paul wrote in Galatians 1, he says, I marvel that you're turning so soon to a different gospel than what you'd heard. Which is really not a different gospel. But you're straying so quick after the truth that you had heard. And it says, these people twist the scriptures to their own destruction. You can twist, you can try to argue, you can try to take things out of context. It says, here they this. It doesn't mean it's so. You can argue, you can try to make a round peg fit in a square hole, but it's to your destruction. And it ends up with the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul wrote, all scripture, not the things you agree with, not the things that are easy to do, not the things that are naturally come easy. Well, what about those uncomfortable things, Paul? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. There is such a thing as doctrine. There's a lot of religious teachings out there that say, well, doctrine and truth is up to you. Truth for you is truth for you, but truth for me is something. Where does that say that? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, so we can be approved of God. Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what the word of God is. It instructs us. It makes straight our way. And ending up with the same scripture that we started with, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, this was written to Timothy. It applies to us as much, every bit of it, as much as it did to Timothy. Not taking it out of context, Paul was writing to Timothy. But it applies to us. I'm proud of this congregation that this is important to you. Because it's important to me. If you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian. The scriptures say you need to be a Christian, that you need to be baptized. If you've strayed, if you're a Christian and you've strayed, and you need to orthotomeo and get back and get straight on the path with God. We have an opportunity to repent of sins, get back on track. If you would like to identify with us here at South Valley as a worker, Not somebody that shows up on Sunday morning, puts a check in the collection plate, and then off to lunch. If you'd like to work with us here to be approved of God, we'd love to have you. Amen. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song, your needs will be addressed. Let us stand and sing.